Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, "There is a time to be silent and a time to speak." That's true in our human relationships, and it is also true in our relationship with the Lord. As we heard last Sunday in the story of Mary and Martha, there is a time to listen. A time for us to simply sit at the Lord's feet and listen to his word like Mary did. And as we heard in our scripture readings this morning, there is also a time to speak. A time for us to come to our Lord and speak to him in prayer. Both of those things, the listening and the speaking, are important because both of them do make a real difference. As we heard last week, taking the time to listen to what God is telling us in his word makes a real difference for us as the Holy Spirit works through that word to provide for our eternal needs by strengthening and preserving us in the one true faith unto life everlasting, to provide for our daily needs by guiding us on the right path in our daily lives, and also to provide for the needs of others by molding us into the kind of people who can be of better service to them. Today we turn our attention to how taking the time to also then speak to God in prayer also does make a real difference, both for us and for the people around us. When the people of God pray, things change. That isn't always apparent to everyone, because some of those changes can be very easy to not even notice. One reason for that is that sometimes some of those changes are actually taking place not around us for us to observe, but rather within us, within the people who are doing the praying. When we pray, we generally do so with the hope that things will change. Sometimes it turns out that part of what needs to change is us. An honest, thoughtful, persistent prayer does help to bring about those kinds of changes. It can begin to happen even in the opening words of a prayer. As we heard in our gospel reading, when Jesus taught us to pray, he began his prayer with the words, "Our Father." And why did he teach us to begin our prayers in that way? Because calling on God as our Father can change our perspective. It can change our outlook. It can calm us. It can comfort us. It can encourage us. Martin Luther expressed that wonderfully in his small catechism when he said, "With these words, our Father, God tenderly invites us to believe that he is our true Father and that we are his true children, so that with all boldness and confidence, we may ask him as dear children ask their dear father." When we begin our prayers by reminding ourselves that the one we are calling on is not some disinterested deity, but rather a loving father who welcomes us, who welcomes our prayers, and who genuinely wants what is best for us, and even that opening address can begin to give us some peace. And already in that way, the prayer can begin making a difference in us. The change within might begin there, but it certainly does not end there, as thankfully the Lord is not done changing us at that point. And we can see that again in the prayer that our Lord taught us. The Lord taught us to bring our requests, our petitions, to our Heavenly Father. And in the petitions that Jesus taught us to pray, we see a couple important things that on our own we might easily leave out of our prayers. First, Jesus taught us to pray not only about our physical needs, but also about our spiritual needs. And second, he taught us to pray not only for ourselves, but for others. And in teaching us to pray in this way, Jesus continues changing our ways of thinking by broadening our perspective. Our gracious God certainly does welcome our prayers for physical help. And so we do pray, give us this day our daily bread, meaning not only bread itself, but also all that we need daily to support this body and life. But by also praying, for example, that God would forgive us our trespasses and that he would lead us not into temptation, but would deliver us from evil. We are reminded in those petitions that man does not live by bread alone, but that we are spiritual beings with vital spiritual needs. And praying about such needs, praying about things like our need for God's help in resisting the temptations that come our way every day, praying about such needs can help to keep us from taking those things lightly. It can help refocus us on things that are of great significance, even of eternal significance, but which we might be much less likely to even think about regularly if the Lord had not taught us to pray about them regularly. And just as the Lord's Prayer broadens our perspective by opening our eyes to the importance of our spiritual lives, this prayer that Jesus has given us also broadens our perspective by teaching us to pray not only about our own needs, but also about the needs of others. This happens throughout the prayer, as Jesus taught us to pray, not give me this day my daily bread, but give us this day our daily bread. Just as he taught us to pray that he would lead us not into temptation, but would deliver us from evil, and that he would forgive not only ourselves, but that he would forgive us our trespasses. He even taught us to pray about our commitment to also forgiving those who trespass against us. And again, when we do pray this way, as the Lord has taught us to do, and when we think about what we are praying, then God can work through that to change us. If we will pray for our family members, if we will pray for the people who we know are going through difficult times around us, if we'll pray for people that we work with or go to school with, if we'll pray for the men, women, and children of this church family, then not only can those prayers help them, but those prayers can also change us. How? Taking the time to earnestly pray for God's blessings upon those people can make us more thankful for them, can make us more mindful of their needs, and can also make us more likely to think of specific ways that we can help them. If you pray for your spouse, you'll be more mindful of the ways that you can show your love to your spouse. If you pray that your son or daughter will be a dedicated follower of Jesus Christ, you will be more likely to bring them to church and more broadly to raise them up in God's word. If you pray for the lonely or sick, you will be more likely to visit them or call them or send them a card. It might, in fact, be the case that one way God wants to answer your prayers for those people is by sending you to those people. And when we honestly examine ourselves, confess our sin to the Lord, and ask for his undeserved forgiveness of our sins, God can also work through that to begin preparing us to forgive those who have sinned against us. Forgiving those who have wronged us and hurt us does not come naturally to us. And that is why Jesus taught us to pray about it. And even while we are praying about it, he is already beginning to answer that prayer. So look to God in heaven as your Father who wants you to come to him and who wants to help you. Cast your cares upon him for both physical and spiritual needs, both for yourself and for others. Pray regularly, take your prayers seriously, and it will change you. Rather, God will change you through those prayers. But of course, that is not all that prayer accomplishes. When the people of God pray, things happen. Things change, not only within us, but also in the world around us, because God does answer prayer. As testimony to the power of prayer, or rather to the power of God in answering prayer, we're given many examples in the Bible of times that God caused specific things to happen in answer to people's specific prayers. The people of Israel cried out to God when they were enslaved in Egypt. The Lord heard their prayers and delivered them. Hannah prayed for a son, and the Lord gave her Samuel. When King Hezekiah was near death, he asked God to have mercy on him, and the Lord answered him by adding 15 more years to his life. In addition to those and other examples from Scripture, I know that many of us here today could also add examples from our own lives, times that we prayed for protection and were kept safe, times that we prayed for other blessings for ourselves or for others and did see those blessings bestowed. Many of us know from firsthand experience what it is like to ask and receive, to seek and to find, to knock and find a door open to us. Yet it is also true that many of us also know what it is like to ask and not receive what we ask for, to seek and just keep on seeking, to knock and wonder why the door does not seem to be opening for us. God does always hear and answer our prayers. But for reasons of his own, in his wisdom which is beyond ours, he does not always answer them in precisely the way that we might have been hoping for. When that happens, it never means that the Lord isn't listening or that he doesn't care about what we prayed. It does mean that there is something that he knows which we don't, and that we need to trust him. There's no better example of that than a time that Jesus himself prayed and did not receive what he was hoping to receive. On the night when he was betrayed, Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed. He knew that his opponents were on their way to arrest him, and he knew where that would lead the next day, to the cross. He was in such agony that his sweat fell to the ground of Gethsemane like drops of blood. And so Jesus prayed to the Father, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me." His hope was that there was some way the cup of suffering and judgment could be taken away from him, that there was somehow some other way that we could be saved. But having prayed that, Jesus also then added the words, "Yet not as I will, but as you will." Jesus knew what he hoped for, but even more, he knew that he could trust the Father and his good and gracious will. God's will was that we sinners be saved. And apart from Christ's saving death for us on the cross, there was, in fact, no other way. And so the cup was not taken from Jesus. The next day on the cross, Jesus drank the cup of judgment for all our sins. So, did Jesus receive exactly what he had hoped for when he prayed? No, he didn't. But was that because the Father didn't hear him or didn't care about him? Nothing could be further from the truth. It was, in fact, because of the Father's love, because of his love for us and his commitment to saving us. A love and commitment that he also knew Jesus fully shared. That was the reason for the answer that he gave to Jesus' prayer. And so Jesus' prayer was not answered in the way that he had hoped. But because there was, in fact, no other way for us to be saved, we also know that Jesus wouldn't have had it any other way. He would not now change the Father's answer if he could. And in a similar way, once we are with the Lord and are able to see the full picture as he does, we can be sure that we also then would not go back and change any of his answers to our prayers either. So sometimes we are given what we ask. Sometimes, for God's good but mysterious reasons, we are not. And then sometimes we are given what we pray for, but not in the precise way or the precise timing that we had in mind. In the early centuries of the Christian church, there is a woman named Monica who lived in northern Africa. Monica was a very faithful Christian woman, but she worried very much about her adult son, who was an unbeliever. One day, her son told her that he was going to go live in Rome, knowing that if he went, he would be going to a place where the culture largely embraced and celebrated decadence and immorality. Monica worried that if he went, he would never become a Christian. So she urged him not to go, and she prayed fervently that the Lord would prevent him from going. Yet he went. Her prayers were heartfelt, they were sincere, they were offered up with the very best of motives. But her prayers appeared to go unanswered. Well, Monica's son was an intellectual man, and he had a special interest in the field of rhetoric, which is the art of persuasive speaking or writing. And so from Rome, he went to Milan, Italy, and in Milan, he went to hear a Christian preacher whom he had heard people talking about, a preacher named Ambrose, who was very highly regarded for his persuasive speaking. So he went to the church to observe and study how Ambrose spoke. And then he went again and listened again, and went again and listened again. And before long, he found that he was going there not to study how Ambrose spoke, but to hear what Ambrose had to say. Gradually, he was brought to faith by the word that he heard there and was baptized by Ambrose. When he later returned to his home in Africa, Monica's son, named Augustine, was a dedicated, active Christian. In fact, through his teaching, he came to be such a great blessing to the Christian church that he is now known as Saint Augustine. So, looking back, were Monica's prayers answered? Well, in a sense, they were not. Her son went to Rome, which is exactly what she prayed would not happen. But then again, were Monica's prayers answered? in a greater sense, they most certainly were. For it was through his traveling to Rome and then to Milan that her son Augustine was brought to faith, which was, after all, what Monica really wanted and prayed for above all else. So we can count on our Lord's promise that he will hear and answer our prayers. At the same time, the answers to our prayers are not always predictable. But that shouldn't surprise us. After all, prayer is not our putting coins into a divine vending machine and getting whatever we select. Rather, prayer is part of a conversation, a holy conversation between God and his people, between our Heavenly Father and the children whom he so loves. In this conversation, God speaks to us in his word, and great things happen. We then speak to God in prayer, and again, great things happen. Through this conversation with God, you and I change, and the world changes. We are very different than we would be if we chose simply not to participate in this conversation. And the world is very different than it would be if God's people did not embrace the privilege of participating in this conversation. So take time this week to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to his word. And take time this week to enjoy the privilege of taking everything to God in prayer. There's a time to listen, and there is a time to speak. Keep the conversation going. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.